Proficiency in swimming, wrestling, boxing. By their teens, there were few sports at which each did not excel. Now these two athletes are in their early 20s. The United States has recently passed one war and may be about to embark on another. In that event, the youngsters want to join the Army to become frontline motorcycle scouts and dispatch riders. First, to prove their prowess and the viability of the motorcycle as a wartime tool, they are going to make an unprecedented coast-to-coast motorcycle journey. Now it's July 4, Sheepshead Bay Racetrack, Brooklyn, New York. The two cyclists fire up their machines and roar off toward the western horizon. In each city and town they pass, the story of their progress makes headlines. Buffalo, New York, Akron, Ohio, South Bend, Indiana, on to Chicago. They plan their journey on an open schedule day to day, take time for side trips, for stopovers as guests of tire and motorcycle distributors. With each westward mile, the going gets rougher. In Colorado, they make the treacherous 2.5 mile Pikes Peak climb. Sudden cloudbursts in the mountains lead to the deep sand and rocky washout trails between Denver and Salt Lake City. There, fatigue becomes an arch enemy, and sometimes the adventurers fall asleep in the saddle, even fall off their machines. 100 miles west of Salt Lake, they're lost in the desert. Their drinking water runs out. A prospector driving a tank wagon rescues them, and they regain their bearings and press onward through Reno, through Sacramento. Now they're on the Lincoln Highway bound for San Francisco. It's September 2nd, 60 days from Brooklyn, New York. The Golden Gate is in sight. They will rest in San Francisco for 3 days and then head south for Los Angeles. Their arrival on the 8th marks the end of a circuitous 5,500-mile odyssey. The press is ready and waiting. The intrepid twosome is interviewed. Both recount the adventure and reaffirm their intention to join the Army as motorcycle scouts. But then it comes out that in a half dozen towns between Chicago and the Rockies, the two rugged adventurers have been arrested. And the charge was wearing clothing of the opposite sex, volunteering for the United States Army. The cyclists are rejected. This is the rest of the story about two motorcyclists who rode coast to coast to prove their prowess. Hoping to join the Army, the youngsters were subsequently rejected, not because of their en route arrests for wearing clothing of the opposite sex. You see, the two daring motorcyclists, ages 22 and 24, began their unprecedented transcontinental odyssey 80 summers ago, July 4, 1916. And back then, even if you were an able swimmer, an able wrestler, boxer, cyclist, you could not have served in World War I with names like Adeline and Augusta, the Van Buren sisters. And now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Protecting What Matters. My name is Eric Gorham. Barry's out. And I believe he's out of the state, actually. I think he's out selling insurance or estate plan. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but I will tell you, if Blazing Bear is the place to go. I don't know many people. I was in that industry for a few years, and Barry is probably the most knowledgeable person I've ever met within that space, especially, you know, and not that it crosses into this show, but if you're looking at, and my mind's going blank, of course, but... oh, shoot. What is that insurance called when you get older?
Long-term care.
Yeah. Long-term care. He's probably one of the best in the nation, to be honest with you. And not trying to push Barry, but the guy is, he knows his stuff. So give him a call. And we are here with the Alzheimer's Association of California Central Coast chapter. We have the president.
Program manager.
All right. I tried to give you a little bit of. That's
it's more title than what I would want.
So it's Laura Deloy, right?
Yes.
And then we have Amber Pepito, right? Pepito.
Yes, yes.
That name's going to get me one. I'm going to mess it up at some point. So you got to forgive
that was
me
perfect.
Now.
Perfect. Yeah.
But what's your role in this?
So I am currently just a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Association. Not just, yes, sorry.
Right.
But, and then I also do in-person education as a volunteer. So that just means I'm like kind of working with the Alzheimer's Association when needed, and I'll be working at booths, spreading information. I work at the school as well at Cal Poly SLO. I recently graduated from there in December, but I still do presentations with Laura sometimes or by myself sometimes and just kind of talk about what we offer.
All right. And then before I turn over here to Laura, you guys have an event coming up. I don't know which one of you want to speak to it, but I think it's worth, we'll put it out here a few times, and it's the 9th, or the 19th, I'm sorry. So if you want to go, it's time to sign up, I guess.
Yes, coming up this weekend on Sunday, April 19th from 1 to 3 p.m. at J. Ducey Winery in Paso. We're hosting an event called Wise Woman and Wine. So we have 9 different local wineries coming to the event, providing some pours. We have a silent auction, and then I will be a guest speaker at the event, as well as a researcher known as Dr. Oz Ishmael, who's going to be speaking there as well. And we're just there kind of representing both women winemakers and wine owners, as well as kind of calling attention to how women are disproportionately affected by Alzheimer's.
All right. And is there a cost to this event? Is it free?
Yes. $50 a ticket. Okay. And then just a reminder, like the $50 gets you, again, wine tastings from 9 wineries, as well as just a great connection, education, and food as well.
And I will tell you that this, you know, you have Austin Hope, you have Epic, you have Rava. I mean, there's a whole, I'm not going to name everybody, but, you know, Austin Hope's probably worth the cost of admission right there. That's one of the premier wines, in my opinion, of this county, especially red. Say there's not much better than that. Austin and I went to school together right down the street. We went to Flampson, actually, and high school. But
there's some great everything from sparklings and rosés to excellent good reds.
Right. Mm-hmm. There is some great wineries here, so it is worth showing up and learning a little bit. But speaking of learning a little bit, can you tell us a little bit about what you do here locally?
Yeah, for sure. So again, I'm Laura Deloy, Program and Education Manager for the Alzheimer's Association, and our chapter here is the California Central Coast. And the Alzheimer's Association is a national nonprofit, so we are across the country, chapters in every state. And we provide care and support for caregivers of those who have a loved one with dementia. So typically we're working with family caregivers at home, or if you have a loved one who's in a care facility, supporting them through just what becomes 24/7 care, and how do you communicate with a person with dementia and better understanding those dementia behaviors that come out, whether it's wandering or repeated questions or maybe some personality changes and irritation and anger and those types of things, or hallucinations. And so we help to connect them to local resources around the area, as well as providing support groups throughout the county. So here in North County in Paso, we've got a monthly support group that meets at American Riviera Bank on the third Friday of the month, so I believe that's actually this week. And then also in Cambria, a monthly support group, monthly education class out there in collaboration with the Cambria Connection. And then in Atascadero, we have a support group that meets monthly at the library as well. And then an education series that we're working with the Oaks of Paso, assisted living and memory care.
Okay.
So a monthly education class there to really try to empower caregivers to be, you know, have some of those resources, and because they've never cared for their parent or their spouse with dementia before. So,
and I'm sure there's a lot of different processes going on there. There's that beginning where, you know, there's just a strain of it all, and that's probably what's wearing on you daily, but there's a lot of different phases to this, and them having the ability to learn from you guys what to expect next, what's coming, what could happen.
Absolutely.
Is probably invaluable. You know, I was literally Friday, I had my yearly physical, and I was at my doctor's office, and he said, I have to take this call. I should go in the next room, but we're not going to talk names. You know what I mean? And it was a couple. They're both elderly. They both have dementia at this point, and the husband has now become violent. And he kind of just, you know, I don't know the names. I don't know where they live or anything else, but he gave me a look. He's like, this is the nicest couple. They've been my my people forever. And now that with his violence, it's changed everything, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's just one of the many cogs that you...
Right, yeah. And, you know, and it is it's a neurological disease. So it's everything that our brain processes is up for confusion or change. And so oftentimes that can be personality. And some of the different types of diseases under the dementia umbrella, Lewy body dementia, frontal temporal dementia particularly, can have more of that personality change. And that's oftentimes what's noticed before maybe short-term memory loss. And so then it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened with mom who used to be really easygoing and now is struggling with, you know, maintaining social connections because she doesn't have a filter anymore. And so it's kind of understanding that and knowing that it's a disease and not just the person trying to, you know, be manipulative or whatever that might be, because that comes across a lot. And how do we deal with, you know, aging parents? And well, if, you know, if you're an adult child and maybe you've had some issues as a teenager, you know, it's like those things can really come back. Or helping spouses to understand that it's not just going through a different phase in life. It's, I mean, it does become that, but really kind of better understanding what's going on so that you're educated and not having to just poke around in the dark. And
I would imagine for the person going through this, you know, especially towards the beginning where you're realizing this is happening, there couldn't be much scarier.
Absolutely. That is, thank you for bringing that up, because it is. There's so...
I mean, you could act out. Loss, I think, right? I would act out just because of that.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, you know, you stub your toe in the middle of the night. We can upset, right?
Right. Like,
I mean, let alone like knowing that there's this potential for such loss.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a term called ambiguous loss or anticipatory grief. Similar things where... you know, you have this whole plan, like whether you're, you know, at a retirement age or older or younger, as, you know, we'll hear with Amber's story of her mom, that we're not great with change as humans.
Right.
You know, we get along with it. But
especially the older we get very settled in our ways. You know, that's something I've personally been fighting. I realized at some point in my life, I'm like, I'm getting a little stubborn. I need to change things up a little bit.
And it's like, you have these plans and you have these dreams and then like, oh, this is all going to change. And
right.
Yeah. So trying to, you know, help people to make some of those decisions, you know, let your family know, let your friends know, like what's going on, so that, you know, we can come around as a community and support one another.
So Amber, I kind of want to get into your story, because I think there's a handful of things we can get into, but I kind of like people to relate to a situation, and every situation is of course going to be different. But your mother had Alzheimer's, or...
Yes. So there's definitely like such a process to getting diagnosed with this disease as well. So when I was 18 years old, I was a senior in high school, year 2020. My mom started noticing, let's say, her symptoms a bit more, but we definitely like probably noticed them earlier. We just kind of, you know, we're like, yeah, she's stressed out and there's a lot going on. So you can kind of push it away or say it's not that big of a deal. But then I think it gets to a point where you're like, all right, now this is really affecting the way she's, you know, working and the way she's around the house. And I think one of the biggest things we saw was like her getting lost while driving or not remembering the password to her phone and thinking we kept changing it when it was, you know, the same the whole time. So then my dad brought her in and we did some cognitive tests, and they told her immediately she should stop driving was one of the biggest things. They're like, okay, no more driving for you. So I remember driving her to her appointment where they told us the news, and we were sat in the doctor's office. It was just me and her, and they started relaying how poorly she did on the cognitive test. They're like, okay, you scored in the bottom one percentile of all these people that tested. That means you did really bad. And I mean, they gave it to us straight, but it was still like, oh gosh, like, okay. And again, I'm only 18 years old. So I was like, wow, this is a lot, because I'm supposed to go to college next year. And my mom is not having a great memory. Like, we were like, what's going to happen? They gave her the diagnosis of rapid early onset Alzheimer's. So that was what we were first told it was. And I relayed that to my dad and my brother. And we were like, okay, well, we have to figure out what this is. The only information we were provided by doctors were a few pamphlets that were basically like, here's a home she could live in. Here's the definition of Alzheimer's. And if you have any questions, this is something, someone who could answer it possibly. And I remember being like, okay, well, like, we're not going to use these. Like, my mom is only 58 years old and she doesn't look like these people on the pamphlet. And I think I remember being very frustrated as well and saying, this isn't supposed to happen right now. Like, I'm supposed to experience this when I have kids and my mom's a grandma, you know? And so it was just unique in that sense. And kind of going into college after that was hard, because I wanted to move away. You know, I wanted to do my own thing. And she wanted me to do that as well. She was a teacher for over 20 years. And she was like, you need to go to school. You need to get an education. You need to travel, do all the things that you love. So that was great. And she pushed me out of the house, which I appreciate. And I don't regret that. And but when I was out of the house, it was hard to get calls from my dad or my brother and saying, you know, your mom is acting out, you know, she's becoming irrational. She's having really bad hallucinations. You know, she thinks that you're not safe. Because I wasn't in the house, she was getting these really bad ideas in her head that I was like getting kidnapped, or I wasn't safe, or someone was taking me. And it was really interesting to see it, because it was like, how is she coming up with this in her head? I just don't understand. I'm on the phone right in front of her, but she can't like perceive me on the phone. It was really interesting. So, yeah, once it was, you know, getting violent with her and she started, you know, acting out in a more violent way towards my family, I decided to like try and talk to doctors about it. I was like, I'll get it figured out. I'll try to find something, you know. And I called a bunch of doctors. I would look up like psychologists and call them, and I'd be like, hey, like my mom, she got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Like, I just have a few questions. And they were like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Like, we can't answer that, but maybe you should try this kind of doctor. And so I went through that process, I want to say about 8 to 10 times, and all of them sent me on to the next. And I was so frustrated. I just ended up looking up Alzheimer's because I was like, hey, there's going to be something on the internet, right? And that's when the Alzheimer's Association came up. Their website popped up, and immediately there was a hotline number really big on their website. Called them, was like, hey, my mom has Alzheimer's, like, can you answer these questions, please? And they're like, yeah, of course, like, what do you got? And they were able to give me all these answers. They were able to email me pamphlets of information after our call, and it was so relieving to hear that. And we ended up posting that number on our refrigerator for friends or family who were there, for my mom to call if she needed. And they became a great resource, and we got very involved in them really quickly, which was super awesome. And my mom ended up passing away 2 years ago in March, so that was a whole nother thing. But I ended up getting more involved with the Alzheimer's Association after that. What I missed, though, was she was later diagnosed with Lewy bodies dementia, which is a little bit different. So it was kind of a misdiagnosis at first, which was also a whole nother thing. but yeah, got involved. That's how I started volunteering here at the Central Coast with Laura and doing all the in-person education stuff.
Okay. And do we see a lot of misdiagnoses, or is it fairly common?
Yeah, it's not uncommon, because with dementia, it's really trying to eliminate other possibilities of what it might be, whether that's low sodium count or dehydration or, you know, any variety of other things that is causing this confusion. But then it is, and as well, when a person is younger, like Amber's mom, it's not always taken into consideration that this is really the truth and what they're experiencing. So it takes a bit of time, and it is a diagnosis over time, so a couple of years, because Well, you got to see what those changes are.
Let me ask you a question. You can feel free to tell me like you don't know what you're talking about, because I don't. I mean, but I've heard this, and I've heard this in other countries when they talk about, you don't hear Alzheimer's in other countries. Mm-hmm. You hear more, I've heard more of the fact of phase 3 diabetes, and it's a sugar imbalance in the brain.
There is a part that they're saying, or that it can be called, or kind of labeling it as a type 3 diabetes. There's a lot of involvement.
It's not true. I'm not making the argument. I'm just asking because it seems like it would be easy to test for if that was the case.
Not completely wrong, but not completely okay. All of what's involved.
Well, that's why I'm asking. You know what I mean? I'm sure other people have heard that.
Like across the world, there are countries, all countries have Alzheimer's disease.
Okay.
So in dementia, the definition, it's a variety of our cognitive elements. So whether that's attention span, short-term memory loss, judgment, perception, all of these things that give us the ability to have cognitive functioning, right, gets mangled up somehow.
Right.
Very technical term. But you have this dementia umbrella, and then underneath that umbrella, there are about 100 different diseases that have dementia as their symptom. So Alzheimer's disease is the most prevalent.
Right. I get it.
Variety of other ones.
And we do have a call, so let's take that. Good afternoon, and welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question, just looking for, you know, some advice or guidance. My mother's 79, will be 80 in October, and she was diagnosed a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, at Samson Clinic, Santa Barbara, with, with early Alzheimer's. And she, we've been watching this progress over the last 4 or 5 years, and it was really, really hard to get her to, to go to the neurologist and to go to the clinic and undergo all this testing. It was very combative. And she, so they diagnosed her, and then there was a follow-up appointment. She just refused to go.
Can we put you on hold just for a moment? We got to go to a commercial break. I apologize for that, but I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you. And we'll be right back with Protecting What Matters.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump is once again suggesting a deal between the U.S. and Iran could be coming. That, according to U.S. Ambassador Mike Waltz, the Pentagon continues its blockade of Iranian ports as Tehran disrupts traffic in the Strait of Hormuz, impacting global energy prices.
The International Energy Agency says continued attacks on energy infrastructure here in the Middle East and ongoing restrictions to tanker movements throughout the Strait of Hormuz has led to the largest fuel disruption in history.
Fox's Matt Finn, a new accuser, says she was raped by Congressman Eric Swalwell.
We will not rest until we get justice for Lana.
Attorney Lisa Bloom is representing Lana Drewes. The congressman is accused of assaulting her in 2018. In a statement posted on X, Swalwell apologized. The Democrat also denied allegations against him. America is listening to Fox News.
This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block office. As local accountants retire, many taxpayers are left wondering where to turn. H&R Block is ready when you need a trusted expert. With experienced tax professionals, your local H&R Block delivers reliable help year after year, no matter how the tax laws change. You'll get knowledgeable service, clear pricing, and flexible options to file. So if your old tax preparer is stepping away, step confidently into tax season with H&R Block. Trusted expertise that's here to stay. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Sometimes you get into those conversations off air and you forget that you got to go back on air. But back to our caller. Sir, you're back if you want to complete your question.
Hey, sure. So I'll just get to the point here. My mother is extremely combative and denial. She refuses to, to go to any treatment and, refuses to accept that she has this diagnosis. And we're at the point now where, you'll have a 10-minute conversation with her, and 5 minutes later, she has no idea that you ever even had the conversations. Mm-hmm. So I just trying to figure out what the next step is mm-hmm. to take care of her. I just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, thanks for calling in, and also just really sorry that you're dealing with all of that, and that is definitely why we exist as the Alzheimer's Association. Some of that is meeting her where she is, because it's certainly frustrating for her as well as it's frustrating for you and your family. Some of what we talk about are fiblets, or some people call them white lies, but it is how, instead of, perhaps it's not setting up your mom to say, okay, well, we've got a doctor's appointment on Thursday and today's Tuesday, and she's going to get more and more frustrated and she's just going to refuse to go to that doctor's appointment. And then come Thursday morning, like, nope, I'm not going with you. Get out of my house. All of those things is not uncommon. Like, I want you to know that it doesn't make it any easier. But it also, trying to say, okay, so if you go over on Thursday morning and say, no, we've got a doctor's appointment, she might not still want to go with you, but perhaps say, hey, you know what? Let's go out for a drive. We're going down to Santa Barbara or wherever you need to drive to for it. And you just have a drive. And then you end up at the doctor's office. It seems manipulative, and I don't want to encourage manipulation of your parents and your older adult friends, but sometimes that is what it takes to be able to get the person to an appointment.
And not to interrupt, but I feel like maybe getting that number out that you had, you said Absolutely. There was an 800 number. I feel mm-hmm. like this is a longer conversation right. that he should be contacting you
yeah.
guys.
Yeah,
and maybe
definitely.
If you can give him and our audience the number, yeah. that's a good starting point.
Yeah, and it sounded like you were driving, but definitely you can look, as Amber shared earlier, go to our website, alz.org. Or just Google search for Alzheimer's Association. It'll come right up. But our 24/7 helpline number is 1-800-272-3900. So again, 1-800-272-3900. And there's always somebody you will talk to, a human. There's always a variety of languages that are spoken. So Spanish is also available there. You can ask for a care consultation, and then you'll talk with a licensed social worker as well if you need some more in-depth conversation and things like that. But I hope that helps, and my heart goes out
to you. Thank you so much. It's a really crazy situation. Mm-hmm. My mom's husband is, I think he's 13 or 14 years younger than mm-hmm. her, and I think he's in complete denial too, or he's just going crazy. And what's really weird about it, and what's sad for him, is that his dad passed away from Alzheimer's when he was in high school. So he's already lived this whole thing, and now here he's going through it again. But
yeah, so I would say certainly reaching out for some additional support, and whether you're up here or anywhere else, we definitely have support groups around that can. These are great questions to bring in and find what others are doing as well. But I would definitely reach out for our 24/7 helpline too.
All right, sir.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
And I'm sure that's, you've heard a lot of this.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure, when you have somebody affected by this, they probably don't know where to reach out. And I get, I think probably one of your chief things is just getting the word out, educating the public that you're here.
Absolutely. So because, much so. And that's like, whether it's our website or our helpline number, not, we'll go out and do a lot of awareness presentations, as Amber was sharing before too. And you know, whether that's a Rotary Club or at a church or whatever that might be. So we're always available to do that as well and set those kinds of appointments up so that people know that there are those resources out there. Because things have changed a lot. You know, whether it was, you know, your grandparents had dementia, a lot of times we'll get that, but it's like, well, but now my husband has it and it's really different. And it is. Because every person is different with that disease.
And I think it brings us back to this event. This weekend, I mean, showing up, I'm sure there's a lot of good information. Amber, you're one of the speakers.
Yes.
So you get to you hear more about this. And then what about your, I guess this is your main speaker, and I don't want to mess his name up, but I'll let you mess his name up.
Yeah. So Dr. no, that's all right. He just says, call me Dr. Oz. Oz Ishmael. He's the Alzheimer's Association Director of Scientific Programs. So he's coming out to speak particularly about the effects of dementia in women, because we have a higher predisposition for dementia, and oftentimes are, you know, also caregivers. And also talking then about brain health as well. And that's what I know, like being on Protecting What Matters previously, we often talk about those brain health components and how can we decrease our risk in getting these diseases and at an earlier age, at Amber's age, right? you know, whether it's maintaining an exercise routine or cognitive exercise, keep learning, and you know, learning a new language, learning an instrument, whatever that might be, and how our diet is, and making control of those numbers of our health. So whether it's our cholesterol or blood pressure or the diabetes, and trying to really, you know, maintain that. So
I think this one's going to mess me up. Why is women and wine?
Why is women and wine?
You can come out this Sunday, enjoy some great wine, and what's the information on that? And where can people look it up?
Yeah.
Yes. If you just look up Why is Women and Wine and Alzheimer's Association on, and like any search engine, it should pop up under a few websites. We've had some people posting about it, like different wineries, as well as like the Paso Daily News, I think, posted as well. So the link is there for you guys, but we also are taking people at the door. So day of the event, if you just want to show up at 1 p.m. at J. Ducey Winery, we'll be there and we can sort you out with tickets.
Perfect, perfect. And there's probably quite a bit to learn there. If this show is pushing a button, this might be something you want to attend.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, one thing I was wondering about, and so I've never necessarily dealt with Alzheimer's. I've met people that have it, et cetera, but I guess like my grandmother, what we were told she had was sundowners. And of course, throughout the day, as the day progressed, she kind of, you know, I remember going in at 4 o'clock and she couldn't believe how I got there. And I couldn't understand what she was talking about, but she thought we were on a cruise ship. And of course, she was with everybody that she was with on the cruise had since passed. And there were the people from her childhood that probably meant the most. And I'm now dealing with my mom, who's getting on different medications, trying things, but and hers is a form of dementia too. So the differences in that, I think, is something maybe we want to broach.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so again, like dementia is that kind of like when we talk about cancer, and then we ask, oh, what kind of cancer do you have? So in a similar kind of sense, when we have dementia, then it's also, well, what kind? Is it Alzheimer's disease? Is it Lewy body dementia? Is it vascular dementia, frontal temporal dementia? Those are the most common ones. And they all have a lot of similarities and yet also quite different, whether that's what processes are getting involved in the brain or the length of time of the disease process or kind of how it progresses. So they're all a progressive disease process. It's not something that, oh, we'll treat and we can stop, right? At this point in time, that's where the research is, you know, working towards. But looking at something like Alzheimer's disease, it's typically just a continual gradual decline. And it can be 10 years, it can be 15, 8, 20 years. But then with vascular dementia, what we used to call, or people would have trans ischemic attacks, TIAs, little mini strokes, multi-infarct dementia, it's kind of all the same kind of labelings that have been over the years. But that will go by kind of a stepwise motion, like kind of just holding on and then have this mini stroke. And then there's a step down. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, mom really has, she went down fast this past week. And it's like, yeah, there was something, but that happened, but then she'll stabilize and then have another of those mini strokes. And it kind of just goes that stepwise type of thing. Whereas like Lewy body dementia, frontal temporal dementia, that can be seen more often in a younger, you know, like, because usually at 65 years of age is when we start seeing more the possibility for Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia, but other diseases can, you know, can be seen earlier on to younger onset type of thing.
So let me ask this. I mean, there's, well, I'm gonna switch it up. I have a question. A totally different question. And I remember years ago there was a movie that came out, and I don't know how realistic it was. I'm sure you saw it. It was, I can't remember the name. It's like Alice.
Still Alice. Yes.
How real is that? Was that a real thing?
That movie ruined my life. It. Like, I was like, this is too accurate to a point where I like am now like worried and scared. It just gave me like, it was just like, wow, they like depicted it really well. I think the way that the main character kind of showed her confusion, like I think there's even a part where she like wets herself and she has an accident. It's like really embarrassing for her. And
well, that's what got me. She's who got me. I get the rest of it. I had never looked at it from that person's perspective, and that movie makes you look at it.
They did a great job, especially with her diagnosis. I think she has Alzheimer's in it, so
yeah,
it was
like a young onset.
Yes, it was like in my own situation, like I related it so much to my mom because I was like, that's exactly what she had. And my mom was a huge fan of that book and movie, which like, oh my gosh, like why would she like this? But yeah, it was interesting. It was they did a good job. I think like the one thing that threw me off was the testing of like the children, which is something that they did where it's like your kids can get tested and see if they have like the gene for it or they carry. Yeah. And so that's what scared me. That's why I was like, this movie ruined my life. It was just because I was like, oh gosh, like I might carry that gene. But that's also something that goes into brain health where I learned now that I've gotten more education around Alzheimer's and dementia is you may carry the gene, but if you keep up with your health and you're a healthy person, you're, you know, getting out and doing those brain healthy things. So you're eating right and you're walking, you're socializing and you keep up and doing these things regularly for a long time. It will lower your chances of actually, you know, experiencing the disease, even if you carry the gene.
So there's a lot of websites that's out there, you know, the Hearts Association has a heart healthy diet. Do you guys have that on your website? Is there?
Yeah, there is. There was a big study that came out last year called the U.S. Pointer Study. And it talks about that specifically the diet, and yeah, certainly like what the American Heart Association has, it what we educate about what's good for your heart is good for your brain, because so much of the blood that's pumped by the heart goes to feed the brain as well, and so you know you can't have one without the other really. And so whether it's decreasing our highly processed foods, increasing kind of that Mediterranean diet, basically, right? Is that, you know, leaner meats, more vegetables, leafy greens, olive oil.
Those probably like a lot of good cholesterol, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in your brain, one of the main consumption units of cholesterol, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a health person. I just like
I just play one.
Yeah, exactly. But I know I that was coming to my mind. But I was like, if I say this, I could be totally BSing my way through this. But I could have sworn I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. So the movie, is it something you would recommend?
I would say watch it, but also keep an open mind because it's definitely like learn with it. I would say maybe like it was definitely. I mean, I watched it and I was like, oh, they're literally like talking about the Alzheimer's Association, but I just didn't perceive that. I was like, right. Oh, I could have used that as a resource, but I just didn't like, so I would say learn with it and just don't take it like that's going to happen to me, you know, like, because again, it's different for each individual and for that character, Alice, like that was her situation. That's what happened with her kids, you know? But yeah, it's different with everyone. But yes, it is a good movie to watch if you really want to get a perspective of it. There's also other resources. There's even like Dementia Live simulations if you really want to like learn. Recently, I was actually involved with one, and it's a simulation. Sometimes they have them. I know that we offered it at my school because one of the teachers had access to them. But I got to like put on headphones and gloves and do tasks and learn what it felt like to have dementia, maybe try and do basic tasks while, you know, your brain's all over the place. So there's other ways to also learn that's not maybe just from a movie and that you can actually experience. So
no, I just remember when I watched that, I think I didn't know anybody. I'd met people, but it was just like, wow. Okay. It like kind of hits you in a way where even if you're not affected by it, you're like, man, this is insane.
Yeah. And I think that really that important part of like putting it in the eyes of the perspective of the person who's dealing with this, right? And her world just totally turned upside down. And, you know, and I remember that on that too, in the book or and in the movie where, you know, she had this on the computer where all of her passwords, but then it was like, okay, when I get to this spot, like, this is what I want you to do. And she kept checking into that every day and it becomes a routine. But it's a very powerful movie.
Yes.
And it also, I believe she was like a professor of linguistics or something. And that was what she lost was her words. And that's not an unusual space, you know, and you know, whether you're, we have a lot of engineers in our county here particularly. And it's, I mean, I hear that so many times where it's like, oh, he was like brilliant and he had this high education and it doesn't mean that you won't get this disease process. Like it's non-discriminatory,
right?
No matter what you've done for your life. And at the same time, there are things that we can do to help delay that onset.
So is this something that's more hereditary or is it indiscriminate or?
Both. Yeah, there are typically what they're seeing for there's the APOE4 gene. And if you have two markers of that, that is your likelihood is pretty great that you're going to get the disease. But it's not telling you that you're going to get it at 62 or at 78 or at 92. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're predisposed for it. So it is keeping track of, you know, what your health is like, what are your screenings doing and that type of thing. When we have somebody in our immediate family, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, that increases our risk. But it's not, okay, you have this, your mom had it, so therefore you're going to have it.
Right.
It's not like the receding hairline or whatever, this, you know, the connection.
Right. Your dad's dad is bald. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're getting close to a break, but maybe we should hit up this Wise Women and Wine one more time.
Yeah,
and
definitely. Then people should come out to this.
We still got to get to Riley at we the do. Top yeah. when we get out of this
break.
We'll
talk
break.
About some volunteering. That's
but let's look at this one more time. Kind of tell us what the speakers are going to be speaking about, where it is, and how to get involved and get out there.
So Wise Women and Wine this Sunday, April 19th, 1 to 3 at J. Ducey Winery on 46 West. $50 for a ticket. You can search online for Wise Women and Wine and Alzheimer's Association and you'll find a link that way. You can come join us at the door. You can, any of those ways. And if you can't make it, feel free to make a donation as well. All of the funds go to the Alzheimer's Association, help support our support groups here and education classes and research.
So will this be more of a presentation given or is there question and answers or how, what's the kind of
yes.
the format?
So, so Holly Ann Lewis, a local singer-songwriter, is going to provide some music with us. And then Amber's going to speak to about her story, and then also Dr. Oz Ishmael from a director of scientific programs at the Alzheimer's Association is going to speak about brain health and the effects of dementia on women. But it's a time to have some tastings of wine from 9 amazing wineries in our area, from Epic and Cipher and Rava and Rockbound and McPrice Myers.
Brick and Mortar,
Brick and Mortar is going to do some catering as well for us. So, yeah, come out and join us. Sunday, April 19th.
So we have a little bit of time left when we come back from break, and we're going to meet one last guest. She's been sitting here tapping her feet, looking at us, wondering when she gets her turn here. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Protecting What Matters.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending higher on Iran deal hopes, and as oil prices retreat and ease inflation fears, and big banks ushered in earnings season. Oil prices fell again, with U.S. crude hovering around $92 a barrel. The Nasdaq advanced and has regained all the ground lost since the start of the Iranian conflict, and before that, amid AI bubble fears, and is back in the green for the year. The tech-heavy index notching its 10th consecutive session of gains, its longest winning streak since late 2021. The magnificent seven big cap tech stocks surged, led by Meta, Tesla, and Amazon. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Amazon, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Chevron, JPMorgan Chase, and Travelers. The Dow rising 318 points, the Nasdaq higher by 455, S&P 500 up 81. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We have Riley here. You're a volunteer?
Yes. So I'm Riley Coomber. I'm a third year at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I've had the lovely opportunity to be the Alzheimer's Association's newest intern under Laura. So I'm doing a lot of helping out with those support groups and education programs and just getting out into the community and spreading awareness and information and helping, you know, those family members and those caregivers find the support that they are otherwise not getting and kind of find the community through these hard times that they're going through.
All right. Is this something you want to move on in your career with, or is this just something you're interested in, or why'd you get involved, I guess is what I'm asking.
So this actually kind of relates to Amber's story a little bit and how she was talking about the difficulties of kind of finding a physician who's listening and advocating. My primary career goal is to be a physician assistant and kind of go into that medical field. And actually, my mom, when she was a child, she she's so strong, but she had the unfortunate circumstance of getting hit by a car and having a traumatic brain injury from it. And I've seen firsthand how difficult it's been for her to navigate kind of the healthcare system and just kind of finding support in going into the doctor's office, and you wait months for this appointment, and you have 15 minutes and they say, okay, here, try this new medication, go have fun with it. And so kind of my goal with going into medicine is not just to, yes, I know I'm going to have limited time with these patients, but to know those resources that I can give people and say, hey, I'm only here with you for this amount of time, but there's this resource that you can go find, and you can find support through these difficult times.
No, that's actually a great approach to it. You don't see it very often, you know, and I'm in the landscaping business, and every once in a while I get somebody that wants to be an architect that wants to come work in the field and actually see how it's done. So they have a concept. So that I respect that quite a bit. And so do you deal with volunteers also? Do you help get people indoor? Is there many opportunities for volunteers? Can people call?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, if you look up our website, alz.org, there's a little volunteer subheading. There's two main subsections of our volunteers. So we have kind of those support group facilitators. So helping, you know, getting people together and talking about the situations that they're having going on at home, or maybe when they go to the doctor's office, and helping people find that community and support. And then there's also, we have education classes. And so there's a lot of volunteers, like Amber was saying, she helps with some of those education classes and giving those caregivers the resources and kind of information they need to help their loved ones.
Okay. And have you got much into the support angle of this? Or are you just doing other kind of volunteer work with the group? Or
so I actually am a brand new volunteer and intern. So I'm kind of getting thrown into it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But a little bit of everything, a lot of that. Awesome. I've been to a few education classes. I haven't had the opportunity to go to a support group yet. I also spent a lot of time out in the community doing boothing and stuff and getting those resources out there. So not only am I supporting on the back end, making sure that these things happen, but also making sure people know that they're going on and what opportunities they have.
And I think we were talking about earlier, that is probably the hardest thing, and where I see most things fail, is when people can't get that information. So that's to me one of the most important jobs of any group, is to be able to get out to the community and let them know what you're doing, because you can have support groups, but if nobody shows up to them, then they're useless. And you could tell just by the caller that we, the one caller we did have, was, you know, the information's not always readily available. Sometimes it's a little easier than you think, but it's finding it and having someone like you, that, especially as volunteers, just to get out there. And the more, the merrier, in my opinion. You know, I do a lot with volunteering, and the more people you can get spreading that word, because when people volunteer, they talk about it.
Absolutely.
They're in their social circles, and they go, oh, what's that about? And then it can lead to, you know, word of mouth above all is the best thing, I think.
And I think it's those things too, where, you know, you don't know what you need to know until you're in a crisis and you need to know.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like everything, you get that PhD quick.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've all probably had something, no matter who's out there listening, that some kind of tragedy in your life where you have to literally go get that PhD in a week or two, and you're constantly learning. And a group like this, if this is the case, or whether it's cancer or whatever it may be, if you can attach to this and learn from this, and I think some of the things we talked about earlier was just being able to go to these groups and talk to somebody on the phone that can tell you what to expect, or can tell you, here's some answers, here's the little things, like, you know, like, hey, we're going for a ride, whatever it may be, because I know the frustration and those things sometimes can be overwhelming, and you don't use the most critical thinking skills at that point.
And you know, again, it's like when you get to a crisis, but then there's also that piece of denial, you know, whether it's the person who's dealing with whatever disease process or it's the family around it. And, you know, a lot of times I see both sides for people. It's like, hey, I want to educate myself and I want to know all about it. Whereas like other folks are like, okay, just tell me this little bit, because I can't handle like the thought of this being a progressive disease and that it's going to be the end of a person's life, you know, and how do you plan for those things?
So we are going to run out of time pretty quickly. I want to hit this Wise Women and Wine this Sunday one more time, if somebody wants to take the lead on that.
So this Sunday, April 19th, 1 to 3 at J. Ducey Winery, we've got 9 different wineries who are going to be pouring tastes for everyone for $50 a ticket. Amber Pepito, who's been on the air here with us, is going to be speaking, as well as Dr. Oz Ishmael, who's the director of our Alzheimer's Association scientific program. So it's a wonderful cause. It's going to be great people involved. lovely afternoon is what the weather sounded like too. Absolutely.
So go online, look it up, and you can get there at the door too, buy tickets, and you're in the door. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Any last words? We have a few seconds.
I think just check out our Alzheimer's Association website, alz.org, or our 24/7 helpline, 1-800-272-3900.
All right. Thanks and so Barry will be back next week, so tune in.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.